Well, I'm glad we can tell it to the Lord. Thank the Lord he hears us and answers our prayer. If you would, again tonight, we'll go back to the book of Exodus chapter 15. We were there last Wednesday night, and we will continue on in some thoughts here in the 15th chapter of Exodus. And do remember, this next week, we'll be having our meeting. Brother Benny Hatfield will be here next Wednesday, and then Thursday and Friday, different preachers will be coming in. And I've had quite a few call and say they're planning on being here, and so we're looking forward to a good time in the Lord, and pray the Lord will speak to hearts and give us a revival spirit, that the Lord might bless us and strengthen us in the way in which we trod. In Exodus chapter 15, we last week dealt with what is commonly called the Song of Moses. It is a song of redemption, and we used as a starting point the New Testament. In Ephesians chapter 5 tells us that we're to speak to ourselves in songs, and spiritual songs, and hymns, and those that list there that he gives. And so we came back to Exodus 15 and read some of the verses concerning the song that Moses sang. And I don't know what kind of tune it had, but the Bible says here, "Then sang Moses and the children of Israel." And so they were rejoicing. And we looked last week into that rejoicing because they have been delivered out of the bondage of Egypt. They have come up to the Red Sea and know where to go. And the Lord opened up that Red Sea for them, and they walked across on dry ground. And when they looked back, Pharaoh and his armies were coming after them. And even tells us there in verse number 4 that Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. And so they look back and see the Lord delivering them from the hand of bondage once again, from which they have just fled. And the Lord swallowed them up and took care of the Egyptian army and the chariots and the captains, all of those that were what we would call in military leadership. God took care of them and destroyed them. And so they have experienced the deliverance of the Lord. So this is not just a song that Moses and the children of Israel sang, but it's a song that had the subject or the title, subject matter was redemption, being redeemed or being delivered from the ungodly. And so tonight we want to go ahead and we'll read some more verses. I'd like to go back and read all of it, but for sake of time and sake of voice, I'll not read those first things that we read last week other than verse 2. Moses said in this song, "The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God." And so that's Moses' testimony, what God had done for him. He said, "He's my strength, he's my song, he's my salvation. He's my God," and he says, I'm going forward because of the blessings that God had given unto them. Now let's notice in verse number 11, and we'll read down through some verses here together. Verse 11, Exodus chapter 15, it says, "Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like unto thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretchest out thy right hand, the earth swallowed them. Thou hast, thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestina. The dukes of Edom shall be amazed, the mighty men of Moab. Trembling shall they take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them. by the greatness of thy arm, they shall be as still as a stone till thy people pass over. O Lord, till the people pass over which thou hast purchased, thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance in thy place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established. The Lord shall reign forever and forever. For the horse of Pharaoh went in with his chariots and with his horsemen into the sea, and the Lord brought again the waters upon the sea upon them, but the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. And Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a tremble in her hand, and all the women went out after her with trembles in their with dances. And Miriam answered them, "Sing ye unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider hath he thrown into the sea." And so we find that's the deliverance, the redemption, and the purchase of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. We noticed last week that the Lord had given them great success. That success was because they looked to him and followed the direction that he had given them, and they're getting ready to go into the what they think is the promised land. But when they get to that point, they rebel against God. And of course, we know the story that they wander in the wilderness for 40 years. And so they're coming out victorious, but it's not going to take long until there's a discourse among them. Not long, they begin to murmur against Moses and against the Lord. You would think after a great victory that God had just given them, they would continue on in that mindset. But the last part of chapter number 15 tells us the story of the coming to Marah and had the bitter water. And so tonight I want us to think about from singing unto complaining and murmuring. They are singing on one moment and complaining the next moment. Sometimes that describes us. Sometimes that describes me. Sometimes we have a joyous soul, and if we're not careful, the devil come along and rob our joy, and we begin to complain about the things that God has given. But we noticed the Lord gave them success. He gave them strength. He gave them salvation. That was all in those first verses that we dealt with. But also we find that he has a sanctuary. He's holy, and his holiness is there. In verse number 11, as we read tonight, "Who is like unto thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders." Who's like our God? And Moses said here, "Who is like unto thee, O Lord?" That's the word Jehovah there. And he says, among the gods, little g, and those idols that they had left. And of course, when they left Egypt, they left a lot of worldly religion, worldliness. Egypt had multiple gods that they worshiped. And if you go back and study the problems that came upon them and the curse of God upon the people of Egypt, you'll find that much of that was targeted toward their gods. And so now Moses is on the other side. Egypt is behind them. The army is buried. And now he says, "Lord, who's like you?" I'm glad tonight we can say with a positive voice and understanding, there's no one like our God. This world in which we live has a lot of gods, just like Egypt did. Probably our world as a total has many more gods than even Egypt. And we can think of our deliverance. We can think of our purchase. We can think of our redemption and how he has delivered us through many different trials and testings that come our way. And we can say, "Lord, there's no one like you." I'm glad that we can call upon him. I'm glad that he is holy. His holiness permeates the song that Moses is singing. And he's rejoicing, and not only he, but also the people. Because that verse 1 says, Moses and the children of Israel, they sing this song. They were in a place of rejoicing. They were in a place of shouting. They were in a place of singing. The Bible says to make melody in our heart. And when we think about singing, we think about praising. And we think about joy. Very few times do they have a song in their heart when there's sadness in their life. So many times the sadness and circumstances of life take our joy, take our song. But thank God He is our song. He is the one that can restore that. And so our God's holiness is all the way through this song. God hates sin, but thank God He loves the sinner. I'm glad tonight He loves every individual that's living upon this earth. Over 7 billion people, and God loves every one of them. Now, He doesn't love all the things they do. He doesn't love all the activities that they participate in, but He loves them. He loves their soul, and sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. And so His holiness will even cause Him to have wrath against the ungodly. Verse number 7 that we looked at last week, it says, And in the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. And then it says, And sentest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. So Moses recognized that it is God that has destroyed Egypt. Moses had nothing to do with that. Israel didn't have an army. All they had was a million people or so, and they were fleeing from Egypt. They were fleeing from Pharaoh, and they wasn't about to fight. If God did not deliver them, they were going to die. If God did not deliver them, then Pharaoh and his army would literally push them into the sea, and they would have perished. But the Lord had redeemed them. The Lord had saved them. The Lord had purchased them, and the Lord had a place for them to go, and they were going to go there. Now, this whole crowd that went out of Egypt, they didn't go into the promised land, because the scripture says their unbelief. God said that those that were of that age that disbelieved, they would not enter in. And so they wandered in the wilderness for those 40 years for that generation to die off. And there, of course, we have the story of Joshua and them going into the promised land because the Lord had set a time, set a place, and had made it possible for them to survive even in the wilderness. And so we find here that He is holy, and His holiness brings forth a song. His holiness brings forth His wrath. His holiness brings forth His judgment, and also His deliverance to the child of God. In verse number 11, there's no God like Him. We've already looked at that, already seen that. And so all these things Moses is singing about, and Moses is rejoicing in. And you'll notice here in we'll not read them again, verse 13 through 18, especially verse number 18, has a point of prophecy here. It says, The Lord shall reign forever and ever. You know, the Lord's reigning tonight. We don't see His throne. We do not see His kingdom. But He has a kingdom. He has a throne. And He's ruling in the hearts of men, even undisclosed and unbeknownst to many people. What the Lord has determined will take place, will take place. And Moses said, The Lord's going to reign, and He's going to reign forever and forever. Now, that was written thousands of years ago. We're living in an age where we believe Jesus is coming. We're living in a generation that we think very surely the Lord is coming again. We look for Him. We anticipate Him. We pray for His coming. We are like John there on the Isle of Patmos. John said, even so come, Lord Jesus. And we say the same thing because we have a blessed hope. We have a hope of our deliverance out of this world. We have a hope of being delivered from the bondage of wickedness and things around us and the problems of life and the society we live in. I would have never thought I'd see our country doing and believing and acting the way many of our countrymen are doing, especially those in high authority. And so we're living in stressful times, but you know what? The Lord's going to reign forever and ever. We live in stressful times, but you know what? There's no other God like Him. They may not bow to Him now, but they will one day. They may not acknowledge Him now, but one day they'll see Him, and they'll look upon Him, and they'll understand what's taking place and how they rejected Him. God's going to bring that all before them, because He's the Lord omnipotent. He's the one that rules in the hearts of men. And so the horse of Pharaoh went into the chariots. They go into the sea, and God brings them and puts them under the sea while the children of Israel have gone across on dry ground. So we move from that scene of Moses' song and the last part of the book of Exodus, chapter 15, tells us in verse number 22, so Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Sur, and they went 3 days into the wilderness. And you'll notice here's their first obstacle, and they found no water. Now we understand, we know, and they knew also, that if you have no water, you have no life. If you have no freshness of water, then you're not going to live very long. And so Moses now has rejoiced. Miriam has sang with them and had led the women of Israel, and they realized what the Lord had done, and they're singing the same song that Moses did. It says the Lord hath triumphed gloriously. There in verse 21, the horse and the rider hath He thrown into the sea. So that was a monumental thing that happened to Israel. And you can read through the scripture time and time again. The writer of the different places of the Word of God refers back to what took place there in that day. And so they're now in the wilderness. They're headed toward the promised land, they think. They're headed toward the land that the Lord had promised to Abraham, to Isaac. They have led now the people of Israel out of Egypt. God's delivered them out of the Red Sea. Now they are found a place where there's no water. And the scripture says, and when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it is called Marah. And the people, notice here, the song now has changed. The attitude has made an about face. And the scriptures here say that the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? What are we going to do, Moses? Now, Moses has just given them victory as far as their eyes. He's the leader. Now they look to him once again. You've delivered us out of water, and we come to a place where there's no water. And they begin to murmur, and they begin to complain, and they complain against Moses. All of a sudden, the man that's popular one day, he's very unpopular the next day. The man that's the victor and has victory in his life and given them victory, now he is called upon, what shall we drink? Notice the response of Moses. Verse 25. And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them, and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. And they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water, 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. Here we find the people going from a song, a a song of rejoicing, a song of deliverance, a song of freshness, of activity. Literally, they were saved, they were redeemed. God of heaven had given them deliverance from the Egyptians, and they're rejoicing in the Lord, and all of a sudden, one problem comes up. It's a very serious problem. We think of the children of Israel, and when they found no water, I think most Bible scholars that study believe that there's 1 to 2 million people that came out of Egypt. It takes a lot of water to supply that, and they had no water, and they come to a place that was bitter water. But the Lord showed him a tree, and the bitter water became sweet water. Now, in typology, that tree represents, I believe, Calvary. It represents what the Lord did for us. We were in a land of nowhere, of being able to take care of ourselves. We was in a land where the water was no good, bitter water, bitter life, bitter things, no hope, dying in despair like most of the world is tonight. And the Lord showed Moses a tree, and he cast the tree into the water, and it became sweet. I'm glad one day the Lord showed me a tree. I'm glad the Lord showed us a place. And when we were out of sorts, when we were no longer able to take care of ourselves, when we were to the point that we realized that if something didn't happen, something didn't change, we were not going to make it. And these folks here, they wasn't going to make it without water. They had just left the sea, and now they're in the wilderness, and now they have no water. Can't turn back, can't go forward. They've got to wait for deliverance once again. And verse number 26, I guess of all the verses in this chapter, this, I believe, is the pivotal verse for the people of Israel. Do you know what it is for you and I also? As God gives us the Word of God, we have these words, and so therefore what the Lord said through Moses to them, I think he says through Moses and the Holy Spirit to you and I. Let's look at verse 26 for just a moment, and then we'll be done. It says, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, will give ear to his commandments, keep all his statutes." The Lord said, if you do these things, I'll deliver you. I'll not have the diseases, the plagues that were in Egypt. They'll not be upon Israel. You know, tonight, you and I, if we will just diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord, if we will just listen to his voice through the Word of God and through the Holy Spirit that lives in our heart and rules and reigns in our life, if we will diligently, that means we are very attentive to what God says. Moses told the people of Israel, said, if you do these things, then he'll deliver again. I guess the biggest word in the English language is that two little letter word, if. It's all dependent upon what we do. Now, there are some things that God has says, I'm going to do it regardless. Those are unconditional promises that the Lord has made. He has said, not if you, he says, I will. I'm glad tonight for all the I wills of the Lord. I'm glad tonight for all the things he says, I'm positively working on your behalf. But there are some things that comes our way, and the Lord says, if you will listen to me, I'll help you. If you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord. He says not only that, but he says, and will do what is right in his sight, and will give ear to the commandment. So here we are to diligently hearken. We are to do those things. We are to follow those things that he gives to us, and then we're to listen to the commandment of God and do what he asks us to do. If you'll keep all the statutes, that just simply means the word of the Lord. Now we fail, every one of us in here tonight, we have failed miserably all through our lives to keep all the statutes of God. But he says, if you will diligently hearken, if you'll diligently work, if you'll keep the statutes, if you'll do what I ask you to do, God says, I'll bless you. Now, blessings are determined by what we do toward the Lord. Blessings are determined by how we respond to His Word. His Word tells us certain things, and how we respond will be determined to us, His smile upon us or His frown upon us as His children. Now, we already know God will chasten His own. We know that in the Old Testament, He chastened Israel. In the New Testament, we find that Paul says if we are His children, He will put the rod to us of correction. He will chasten us, and those whom He loves, He corrects, He chastens. And so we know God will, He'll chasten us, He'll whip us, He'll call our attention to things in our life. And if we will hearken to Him, then He'll bless us. If we will hearken to Him and follow Him, then His blessings are upon us. And He told Israel, He said, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. They knew, they remembered. They remembered the flies, they remembered the frogs, they remembered all the different plagues. They remembered the boils, they remembered the sores, they remembered how Egypt suffered under the judgment of the Lord. God says, now if you'll listen to me, if you'll hearken to me, stop your murmuring, stop your complaining, and start singing again, He said, then I'll not put those diseases on you. I'll not put those problems on you. He says, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Our God is a healer. Now, I don't believe in faith healers, but I believe our God can heal. I've seen things in my life. You've seen things in your life that the Lord took care of that nobody else could do. I've heard doctors say, I don't know, I can't explain it. I can't explain what's happened, but everything's different. Everything's well. You see, God knows us. God helps us. God heals us according to His will and His direction. So they're singing a song and they're murmuring. And Moses said, you better be careful. Remember what Egypt went through? God says, if you'll diligently hearken, if you'll listen, if you'll follow, if you'll do the things I ask you to do, He says, then I'll not put those diseases upon you. And He says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. And so tonight, Israel went from singing to murmuring. You would think all the things that the people of Israel saw, you would think they would say, oh, our God's able. They were already two or three times in these verses that we have read these last two Wednesday night, two or three times they've made the statement that our God has delivered. He has redeemed. He has purchased. He has helped us. You would think that would be indelibly stamped in their minds. And they'd say, no, there's no water, so let's call upon the Lord. Well, what did they do? They complained. They went from singing to complaining. They went from rejoicing to rejecting. They murmured against Moses, and in doing that, they were murmuring against the Lord. And so God once again delivered them. And you can trace the steps of the people of Israel all the way through the wilderness, and they're always complaining. After every victory, there comes a struggle. After every problem that come in front of them, God had to deliver them, and then they would go through that cycle of rejoicing, and then the first time something comes up difficult or hard, they murmured against Moses and Aaron. And the Scripture says they murmured against the Lord. May we not be guilty of that. May we realize that when obstacles come before us, it may not be that we don't have water, but it may be that we don't have something that we need. It may be that we have a financial need, and only God knows about that. And instead of murmuring, we just call upon the Lord, and He can take care of that. I've read time and time again, even had it happen in our own life, that the Lord took care of some things that we had no idea how it would ever be taken care of. But the reason He does that is because He is the God, is my strength. The Lord is my strength, and may He always be our song. May He always be our rejoicing. We don't have Egypt and the Red Sea behind us, but we have hail. We have despair. We have struggles. But thank God He delivered us one day, and all those things are cast away. Our sins bother us and harm us and discourage us, but you know what? Our sins are gone. They're underneath the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And may we ever rejoice and have a song in our heart that Jesus saves, Jesus secures, Jesus loves me, Jesus loves us, and He will deliver us if we diligently hearken unto Him. So may the Lord help us tonight to do that and give strength to our hearts and our lives that we would look to Him. Whatever the problem is, if we were to go around each person tonight, if we'd be honest, here's my problem. Here's my struggle. We all have them. We all have those things. And I'm glad God can deliver us from all those things. It may not be a disease. It may not be what happened to Israel. It may not be a physical problem. It may not be a physical problem. It just things that will come against us that the devil uses. You know what? God can deliver. Praise the Lord. He does that. It's all conditioned on that little word if. There's another if in the scripture that we use a number of times. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves. God says, if you will humble yourselves, seek my face, then God says, then I will hear from heaven. What's the next phrase? And will heal your land. Boy, America needs healing tonight. America has all these diseases. America has all the problems. And we need a healing spiritually. If my people, the problem is many times His people don't seek His face as they should. Me included, you included. But He just promises us. That's one of those conditional promises. If my people, which are called by my name, what are we called? We're called Christian. We're called children of God. We're called the people of the Lord. If we're called by His name, if we'll humble ourselves, that's the first thing. That's the problem a lot of folks have, is just humbling themselves before God. He said, seek my face, then I'll heal your land. America needs it. We need it. Individuals need it. A spiritual healing that comes only from the Lord. The struggles that we have seen year after year in our country, the politicians, have they helped? No help at all. You know why? They don't know the healer. Oh, they make rules, they make laws, and then they don't even go by them. They change things in the middle of the stream and just to make things difficult. And they think that's helping our country, or they say they do. I'm not sure anybody could think that. But you know what? There's a God in heaven that can straighten the crooked path. He can take care of the needs that we have if we will call upon Him. I believe there's enough Christians. I'm talking about real Christians. I'm not talking about church members. I'm talking about Christians called by His name. Romans chapter 8 puts it like this, the called. I believe there's enough of the people of God in this country if we would really get down to business with God. Isn't it amazing what God could do? Wouldn't it be wonderful to get up in the morning and things are much better? Will that ever happen? I don't know. I'm very pessimistic on that. I don't know if it ever will or not, but I know one day He's going to straighten them all out. He's going to take care of all the problems, all the needs, all the wickedness, and he's going to establish his kingdom. And we, his people, we shall rule and reign with him. Thank God for the promise that we have. Moses sang, Miriam sang, the people sang, the people complained, and God delivered from a song to a complaint. But God's always, at the end result, is his deliverance. May God deliver us. May God help us. May God use us. Encouragement to someone else, maybe that's stumbled by the wayside, not doing as they should, not living like they know. May God help us to be an encouragement in their life to uphold the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand together tonight.